Good morning, I'm Avi Lewis, and you're listening to the Friday edition of The Current. The plan is called Turning the Corner, but for some, the Conservatives' new emissions plan could be veering Canada off course. Despite the critics, yesterday, Environment Minister John Baird laid out a new set of goals and policies, all aimed at reducing our greenhouse emissions. It includes everything from caps on industries that contribute to air pollution, to more efficient light bulbs, to cutting emissions from the oil and gas sector. Minister Baird joins me now in our Toronto studio. Good morning.
Great to be with you.
You're calling the new emissions plan turning the corner. Many environmentalists are calling this more of a U-turn for your government. How is it that climate change and the environment have become such a big issue for the Conservative government? There have been a few iterations of this.
Well, you know, when I door knocked in the last election campaign, I didn't have a lot of people raise the environment with me. I guess there was the sponsorship scandal, there was tax cuts, there was daycare. But this was never an issue that was top of mind, even 18 months ago. It's a huge issue for Canadians, a huge priority, the huge impacts and relationship between environment and health. So we came forward last October with the long-term targets and committed to coming back with a short and medium term, and we've delivered that yesterday.
But, you know, you talked yesterday in the announcement in the question period afterwards. I think you said something about the enthusiasm of the newly converted or the zeal of the newly converted. And there was a story, a report this week that your government was advised by focus grouping and audience research, what we do in television and radio, identifying the Suzuki nature, a nation of environmentally conscious voters. There really is an impression that you have been driven to this, that your government has been driven to a tougher stand.
There's no doubt about it. We acknowledged in January that Canadians wanted more, expected more, and we would deliver more. The reality is, though, is we really are doing a U-turn, not as a government, but as a country. Our greenhouse gas emissions were supposed to go down when we signed the Kyoto Protocol, and the reality is they've gone up. They've gone up by 27% under the Liberals. I can't turn back the hands of time. I can't take responsibility for their mistakes, but I have an important responsibility to the country, to the environment, to the planet. Our government has an important responsibility to turn things around, and we're doing just that.
During the life of this government, we have heard endlessly that you can't take responsibility for Liberal mistakes, that it's all the Liberals' fault, that if only they had done something 10 years ago. But right up until Kyoto was ratified by the Chrétien government, the Canadian Alliance, one of your parent parties, was fighting it tooth and nail. I mean, who can forget Bob Mills' famous filibuster? Wasn't the Canadian political right doing everything it could to prevent real action on climate change all that time?
What we said was we didn't see a plan from the Liberal government to deliver. All we saw was, you know, greenhouse gas emissions going up.
But there was a plan called Kyoto that your party's forebears fought relentlessly.
The Kyoto Protocol was signed, negotiated back in 97. The government signed on. They had no plan in going there, and they had no plan after they signed it. And we certainly had concerns about that. That was then. This is now. There's a big difference between accepting the harmful nature of greenhouse gas emissions, accepting global warming, accepting the science, and a particular protocol. We will do more in the next 13 years than just about any country in the world with the plan that we came forward with. We're going to reevaluate it every 5 years if we need to put our foot on the gas to do more, depending on how we deploy technology, depending on what goes on in future negotiations. But I think we've come forward with a strong, balanced plan that delivers the goods. It's honest. I don't want to make commitments that we can't deliver. I was Minister of Energy 4 years ago when Dalton McGuinty promised, if I'm elected, I'll close all the coal-fired generating stations in Ontario by 2007. Well, the reality is they haven't closed. And there's a credibility gap for politicians on the environment. So we've come forward with a tough, aggressive plan, a plan that's achievable, a plan that's affordable, that's manageable, and that will regulate industry, forcing them to reduce their emissions.
Well, I want to pick up on that. We all accept that the Liberals didn't do enough, and you're saying
they didn't do anything.
That they should have done
they
a
went
lot
up.
More. All right, so oil and gas industry emissions rose 50% between 1990 and 2004. Are you saying that the Liberals should have done more to crack down on the fossil fuel industry?
Well, if they're going to sign Kyoto and want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, they should have done something. We've got a plan that
should they have cracked down more on the oil and gas industry?
We're going to crack down on every industry. Our plan doesn't give any special deal to the oil and energy sector in Alberta. They're going to be required to immediately begin to reduce their emissions by 6% a year. By 2010, they'll have to have them down by 18%, and then a continuous improvement of 2% a year. That's a tough plan. I don't think there's any country in the world that's regulating that tough standards. The reality is, though, is you and I, when we drive our cars, they have gas in them, and it's obviously we have energy security needs. But that doesn't get off the reality that we must reduce emissions. So we've got a plan that we'll see real reduction cuts beginning as early as 2010 and a 20% cut across the country by 2020.
Well, let's talk about that, because the numbers can be a little bit eye-glazing, but they're very, very important on this issue, as everyone knows. When you brought up the Clean Air Act last October, you were criticized for aiming to cut emissions using 2003 as your benchmark, as your baseline, when Kyoto calls for cuts from the level that it was at 1990, and European countries and others are making real strides there. Now, you're talking about a tougher plan, but it reduces emissions from a 2006 benchmark, a 2006 baseline. It's an even higher point from which you're starting to count your 20%. Why would you switch baselines when that means an even weaker target?
The starting point is right in front of me. The starting line. This is a marathon. The starting line is right in front of me. I can't turn back the hands of time. One of the concerns about 1990 is that the government has no information. There was no requirement for industry to even provide the government with information on greenhouse gas emissions. So we'd have to go to these big polluters and say, by the way, how much were you polluting back in 1990? And, that's 17 years ago. So it would be done on a wing and a prayer. And if we're going to have this massive regulation of the industrial sector of the Canadian economy, it's got to be based on facts.
So you have all those facts now?
They've started to report in 2004. We do have that on a facility by facility and industry by industry basis.
So you could have started with your baseline in 2004 if your figures were the problem.
But I mean, we're dealing with the situation as we find it today. People want to know, are we going to reduce greenhouse gases? And the plan reduces them by 20%. 20% of what they are today.
Okay. In 2020, when the current plan ends, the math suggests that we're going to be around 11% above our original Kyoto commitment, which we are still, we ratified it and we're still committed to it on paper. Europeans at that point in 2020 will be 20% below the original 1990 targets, a 30% spread. Aren't you leaving Canada with even more catching up to do internationally?
Well, let me tell you, some countries are talking about they want to be 20% below Kyoto by 2020. Some of those countries now are already 10% below Kyoto, so they only have to reduce their emissions by 10%. We're reducing ours by 20, twice as much. Again, we can't turn that clock hands of time back. It's like saying to you as a CBC reporter, by the way, you've got to get your ratings up from the 1990 show. It's pretty hard to do.
I would love to do that, though.
I would love to turn the clock back myself. But Canadians want to see real action. And our plan, we can debate numbers at the time to the cows come home. Should it be 1988, 1992, 1990, 2003? The plan is today. Kyoto was a 15-year marathon to reduce greenhouse gases in this country. And when the starting pistol went off, the previous government began running in the opposite direction. Greenhouse gas emissions went up by 27%. We're 35% above our targets today. My job is to see them go down. Well, to see them go down significantly and dramatically, and our plan delivers.
Let's talk about the plan and exactly how that'll happen. One of the most contentious parts of it is, of course, that you have chosen to use intensity-based targets on greenhouse gas emissions, where companies are given a cap per unit of production rather than an absolute cap on their emissions. You've embraced absolute limits on smog-polluting substances like sulfur oxide, but not on carbon. Why are you embracing intensity-based?
I think the technology to reduce air pollutants like smog and pollution, nitrous oxide, sulfur oxide, I think they're there, they're achievable, they're more realistic. Our plan cuts it those emissions by 50% by 2015. We're the only government in the world regulating for both. I'll give you an example. In New Brunswick, they want to build a new oil refinery, Irving. That'll be a great economic benefit for the province, a lot of jobs, a lot of hope, a lot of opportunity will be created by that. If you didn't have an intensity-based system, that wouldn't be able to go ahead. So what we're doing is saying is that it's an intensity-based system, but it does deliver real reductions. And it does that because we have a huge balloon payment of 18%, where they've got to deliver an 18% cut in the next 3 years, and we'll see real reductions on this approach, beginning as early as 2010, certainly by the latest by 2012. And this will allow the Canadian economy to grow.
You know, the intensity-based targets are what the oil and gas producers want. I mean, you're talking to everyone across the Canadian political spectrum and all the interest groups, and you know that that's what they wanted. Your government and the Alberta government have recognized that the oil sands production is going to triple or more in the next decade.
Well, Stéphane Dion supported intensity-based targets.
Well, I'm actually talking about your plan, and it seems
there's a lot of support for intensity-based. John Godfrey, the Liberal Environment Chair, has strongly supported it in the past.
They're not here to defend their positions, but you are to defend yours. There is absolutely clear explosion in the oil sands, which are the largest growth of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. Intensity-based targets mean that the absolute emissions can and will go up if production triples, quadruples, or quintuples, as some people are calling for. How can you defend intensity-based targets based on that scenario?
Well, we need to have a growing economy. I mean, if we were to say, use that refinery example in New Brunswick, are we to say no, that the unemployed in New Brunswick cannot get a job because we won't allow that refinery to be built? Are we to say that a new mining operation, a new smelting operation, a new chemical plant wants to be built? Sorry. We don't allow economic growth in this country. We're being honest. We want a strong, growing economy.
Which means strong, growing emissions.
Which means when you have new facilities, the emissions will grow. That's why our regulation plan delivers real reductions as early as 2010 by that significant balloon payment of 18% virtually immediately. They got to be in to get to work today, and we see the reductions fall. We deliver about 150 megaton reduction in where we are today with our plan. We also stop about 150 megatons from going up in the future. So it's really, if we didn't act today, we would see greenhouse gas emissions go up by about 300 megatons. So, you know, this plan allows real cuts in greenhouse gases. Greenhouse gases will go down, way down, with our plan, but it does allow growth. You know, if we were to say to a business that they couldn't open up, they couldn't expand their operations because we didn't want those jobs. I mean, that would be bad news for the Canadian economy, bad news for government and our capacity to be able to provide services like healthcare, like education. A lot of money is coming in from the economic development in Alberta. The CBC got an extra $60 million, and we used some of the royalties to provide more money for public broadcasting.
You're here to remind us of that. You're famous for your ability to duck and weave, and I respect that deeply. It's part of your job. You haven't directly answered the question about low-intensity targets. I'm going to leave the floor to someone
else. We will allow more plants to be built. We will allow expansion in the natural resources sector, in the energy sector. We are allowing that. But our plan delivers real reductions across the country.
So this is what I'm having trouble getting: the intensity-based targets, which allow emissions to rise, and your insistence that they will fall. I want to play you this clip from John Bennett, who's with the Climate Action Network.
Offered him a briefing, and he wouldn't refuse to come in and be briefed on the plan.
Okay.
So you have someone who's out there speaking who refused the government briefing.
Minister Baird, with respect, you have 22 and a half minutes with me. We're going to have a few seconds with one of your critics, and then I want you to respond.
Intensity-based targets are a form of fakery in which the government and industry can claim they're putting out regulations and meeting it, but in fact emissions will continue to rise because the production keeps going up. And even if you're producing less emissions per barrel of oil, if you're producing five times as much oil, you're producing way more emissions. And this is the plan that the government has accepted. What's going on here is that the government is putting the interests of a small number of oil companies and their shareholders ahead of the interests of all Canadians and everyone around the world. We're getting a government playing politics with the environment and giving us an ineffective regulation regime and an ineffective group of programs that will mean Canada's emissions will rise for at least the next 4 or 5 years and maybe beyond that.
Now you get to respond.
Our emissions will rise in the first 3 to 5 years, and then they begin. It's almost like a cruise ship. If you want to turn it around, you can't do it on a dime. You can't do it immediately. So the plan begin to do the U-turn as a country as early as 2010 and by as late as 2012, and then by 2020 we get real reductions of 20%. So in Canada, as of today, if you take the number of greenhouse gases that we're producing today versus 2020, they will go down. They will really go down. Not in an intensity-based form, in a real form. I guess one of the challenges we have is we've had so much political debate, political discussion. So many of these environment groups. I mean, Mr. Bennett wouldn't even be briefed on this plan.
As you mentioned.
No, but this is right. You got to read. If you're going to comment on this stuff, you got to read the plan. So if he had read it, he would have known that the emissions do go down. I'm not going to promise something I can't deliver on. The reality is, intensity-based somethings were authored by Stéphane Dion. John Godfrey spoke very positively about them when they were in government. We have a group of environmentalists who want nothing short of perfection, and we group of industry who want nothing more than the status quo. Well, at some point, government's job is to lead. And
This is tremendous.
This reminds me
of the 1990 liberals who were taking a middle path. Environmentalists say that they want survival, not perfection.
Well, the reality is that over 10 years we haven't been able to get anything done because they've been demanding perfection. Many in industry want the status quo. So it's time for government to lead.
To take a measured approach.
And this government is coming out with one of the most aggressive plans in the world. There are very few countries who will cut their greenhouse gases by more than Canada. And, you know, we have a black eye internationally because people saw us sign the Kyoto Protocol and then sit back and watch emissions skyrocket. And we're going to turn that around. We're going to provide real leadership with our actions at home. I just totally reject the, you know, do as I say, not as I do. I didn't believe that when I was a kid. I don't believe it now.
Let me play another clip for you from one of your other favorite environmentalists. Here is Louise Como from the Sage Foundation.
The Canadian economy is more at risk from going for weak targets on climate change. In fact, the reality is that the tougher the target, the more you drive innovation and the faster the costs come down. What we've done is actually protect Canada from the competition that's coming in a carbon-constrained world. We're not participating in carbon markets. We're protecting old industries. We're not creating new industries. We are putting the economy at risk from not moving forward more aggressively. The opportunity on energy efficiency, conservation, renewable energy, new technologies is enormous, and this country is not even in the game. From an economic point of view, it is those economies that are more energy efficient, more carbon neutral, if you will, that will be the most competitive in the future. And Canada has essentially positioned itself to be a carbon generating economy and puts our entire future at risk.
I wanted to get your reaction to that clip because when I push you on the question of low intensity, intensity-based targets, you go to the economy. And last week, your government released a report predicting economic apocalypse if Kyoto was...
economic
was
apocalypse?
Well, we talked about hundreds of thousands of jobs being lost. The Prime Minister
said there'd be a recession. And recessions cost people their jobs. They cost people their capacity to provide for themselves and their families.
So what do you make of Louise Como's position that actually more aggressive targets in a market-based analysis will force innovation, will move the market to create...
That's why we're coming up with some of the most aggressive targets in the world. Things like carbon capture and storage, things like the development of greater energy efficiency. We've got putting billions of dollars to help support the renewable energy sector, to promote biofuels, things like cellulosic ethanol. Canada has the first demonstration plant for cellulosic ethanol in the world. And we indicated in the budget that we're going to be supportive of their plan to have a full commercialized plan right here in Canada. We will take advantage of a lot of these opportunities. There will be, because of this plan, billions and billions and billions of dollars that industry will have to invest. And we want to be part of that green economy. But you can't be part of the green economy if you're sending $10, $20 billion to Russia. Canada would miss the boat on the green economy. There would be the development of zero new technologies here in Canada if we just simply wrote a check to Russia and to Ukraine, which other people advocate. And I don't.
I don't think that's exactly how it works, but you've called for the development of a domestic emissions trading system. That's completely new territory, completely unexplored. How exactly is that going to work as it's your response to the global carbon trading system?
I'll give you an example. The Ontario Power Generation generates about 20% of its electricity from coal. They won't be able to shut those plants down tomorrow morning. because your studio is here at CBC, my home, yours, we still all require electricity. They're under actually an obligation of Ontario law to generate electricity. So what we'll do is say, listen, you can't meet your targets just yet, but if you can, the business across the road, if they can exceed their targets, you can buy those credits and take responsibility for reducing greenhouse gases. But they've got to be real, they've got to be verifiable, and they've got to be tangible. We're also going to allow offsets. So what we hope to do is promote environmental entrepreneurship. There's mechanisms right now that are technology exists today to cap methane coming out of municipal landfills, mm-hmm. and to even use it to generate electricity. And with these offset provisions in our plan, it's very exciting. There'll be companies now will be able to go in to work with municipalities, cap those harmful greenhouse gases, generate electricity, and then they can sell those credits to companies who aren't able to immediately meet their target.
So how are you going to ensure that the domestic emissions trading system doesn't fall prey to those things that you're criticizing the international one for?
Well, we get to regulate and manage it ourselves here in Canada.
We've got the time to do that, to figure out how to do that.
Our environment demands it. Our environment demands it.
How long do you think it'll take?
I think you'll see. I mean, right now in Ottawa, Plasco is working at the municipal landfill. I think you'll see things develop very, very quickly. We're going to unleash the power of the environmental economy. I think there's great potential for it. The carbon capture and storage, one of the first demonstration projects, is right here in Canada. We set up a task force to deal with the issues surrounding that, whether it's legal liability, whether it's how you would access a pipeline, how it would work. They'll be reporting back in short order to begin to deploy that. If we get that working, that could lead to literally a huge amount of megatons reduction in Canada. Plus, we can take that technology and promote it around the world.
We're running a little bit short on time, but let me ask you, what is the government itself doing to reduce emissions in the business of government?
We got to provide leadership in that area. There's no doubt about it. All of the ministers, their government cars are either E85 ethanol vehicles or are hybrids. We'll be opening up a new building for Parks Canada out in the West Coast, which is one of the most energy efficient buildings in the country.
You have mandatory targets within government operations?
We're working on that.
Can I see them?
You bet your boots. Government's got to provide leadership. There's no doubt about it. And we can put it on all of our crown corporations like the CBC as well.
Thank you very much for coming in today.
Great to be with you.
John Baird is Canada's Minister of the Environment, and he was in our Toronto studio.